You are Locked On Vols, your daily Tennessee Volunteers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Vols, your team every day. My name is Josh Ward. Thanks for being here today as we head into a big weekend coming up for Tennessee basketball, trying to close out the regular season with an SEC championship. Today's show will be a mix of Tennessee football and hoops. As Tennessee's football team began spring practice on Thursday afternoon, you'll hear from Jeremy Pruitt coming up here in segment number one. He was in a pretty good mood walking off the practice field, meeting with the media when he talked about the way that his team went out in practice. You'll hear Jeremy Pruitt talk about that, as well as Jeremy Banks. Does he play offense or defense? He's starting out on offense. Jeremy Pruitt will explain why Jeremy Banks is still on the offensive side in the backfield. I'll have some notes for you on some newcomers as well and an injury update on Tennessee's football team, all in the first segment. In segment number two, Grant Ramey of GoVols247.com will stop by. I'll get his thoughts on Tennessee heading into the Auburn game, the Vols trying to win a second consecutive SEC title, and Tennessee's performance over the last couple of weeks, how Tennessee has played, and have the Vols corrected some of the issues that we discussed over the last few weeks. Grant, we'll talk about that coming up in segment number two. And then in the final segment, Justin Ferguson of The Athletic will stop by and tell you about Auburn, what you need to know about Bruce Pearl's basketball team as the Vols get ready for a big road trip this weekend. A tough game, at least expected to be that, heading into Auburn on Saturday. Justin Ferguson will let you know about Tennessee's opponent here on the show today. It's Locked On Vols, 5 days a week, available via Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, the third-party apps. Anywhere you listen to your podcasts, you can find Locked On Vols. So Tennessee's football team opened up spring practice on Thursday afternoon, and I'll get to an update on several players who are dealing with injuries. One notable name at linebacker who is going to be out this spring. I'll tell you about that as well. But Jeremy Pruitt, meeting with the media, seemed to be pretty pleased with how his team came out and performed. And Tennessee was out there in shorts and jerseys and helmets. No pads yet for Tennessee. That will come here soon. But Tennessee getting out there with a lot of newcomers to pay attention to, guys like Quavarius Crouch and Wanya Morris and Ramel Keaton, guys getting work for the first time. But Tennessee also has a lot of players returning. Jarrett Garantano is the starter at quarterback. You have several offensive linemen, Juwan Jennings, Marquez Callaway, guys who have now played for these coaches and have a better understanding of what they're expected to do on the practice field. Same for guys like Alante Taylor, who this time a year ago was going through his first practice ever, and Bryce Thompson, who hadn't even arrived on campus yet. Now he's a guy that is expected to be a starter, like Alante Taylor, heading into next year. Perhaps that's why Jeremy Pruitt seemed pleased with how his team performed.
There's definitely defensively a lot of carryover from last fall. We have lots of guys that are back, so you could obviously see a comfort zone there. I thought our offense done a really good job today. It's probably the first time all year that we finished practice early. The offense sets the tempo for the practice, so I thought that was really positive.
So Jeremy Pruitt opened his press conference after practice with a positive note on how Tennessee performed. He then went into several updates on players who are dealing with injuries. Most notably, I would say, Darren Kirkland Jr. is out this spring as he's getting work done on a knee. And you know that he's dealt with knee and ankle injuries over the last few years. And the knee problems have been the biggest issue, I think, the last two seasons. He missed all of the 2017 season and really kind of had to just manage through the injury issues in 2018. He was able to practice at times, but other times had to be out, and it looks like he's going to be out again this spring. That means more opportunity for other players at inside linebacker, some veterans, some newcomers as well, as Quavarius Crouch and J.J. Peterson were both working with the inside linebackers while the media was watching, at least early on in practice on Thursday. Some newcomers are also not participating right now. Running back Eric Gray and Tyus Fields at cornerback are out right now, and Chris Sakpurogane, the offensive lineman who suffered a minor knee injury recently, he is going to be out for a few practices. So those guys were not on the practice field participating on Thursday while we were watching. J.J. Peterson is also banged up, according to Jeremy Pruitt, but he was practicing. He does look better. He's not at full speed, and I thought that was the case while I was watching, but he, again, still looks better than when he arrived noticeably out of shape at the start of the 2018 season. Peterson needs to have a good spring, I think. Kovaris Crouch, he looks good. He looks the part. He looks like a guy that was highly touted in high school as a 6'3", 240-pound linebacker. He looks like he belongs in the SEC. Also, offensive lineman Brandon Kennedy was a limited participant on the practice field. He's not full speed, but according to Jeremy Pruitt, Kennedy would be cleared to play if Tennessee had a game this week. That is a pretty quick turnaround. It's only been about 6 months since he suffered that torn ACL the week after the West Virginia game, but it was good for Tennessee to have Kennedy out there. Trey Smith was present at practice. He is not practicing. He won't be practicing this spring, but it was good to see Trey out there with his teammates offering some encouragement. I would imagine that will continue this spring. Now, what happens the rest of the way with several players at certain positions is to be determined, and that includes Jeremy Banks. Remember, in the middle of the fall, Banks switched from running back to linebacker. That move lasted about a week as he went from linebacker back to running back because Tennessee needed help at that position, and then he got some more practice reps later on at linebacker. Right now, he's at running back. Jeremy Pruitt explained why. Jeremy Banks, heading into his sophomore season right now, is still working on the offensive side, not on defense at linebacker.
You know, if you look at our running backs with Ty and Tim, Carlin, even Eric Gray, they're all probably in the between the 195 and maybe 205 range. We need a big back. That's why we moved Princeton Fant there. We're going to keep Jeremy on offense and see. We've got to have, you know, a 225-pound plus back in there, at least one guy. So we're going to keep them both over there and see how they work for the first probably 6 to 8 days. Let Coach Chaney and David get a good look at them and then kind of make a decision from there. They both can play multiple positions, and they're learning our offense conceptually. So I think they're both doing a good job.
There will be several players to pay attention to with their positions. Do they move around? Latrell Bumpus is working at defensive line. He's played tight end in the past. Let's see what happens with the linebacker position. Do J.J. Peterson or Kovaris Crouch move? Both could. Both guys could play at outside linebacker. As I was looking at that position group, it's not incredibly deep right now. You know, you have Daryl Taylor you're going to count on, DeAndre Johnson, Jordan Allen, Kevon Bennett. Bennett's a guy that's played on the defensive line. He's played at outside linebacker. There could be others as well. D'Angelo Gibbs, does he stay at wide receiver? So that's something to pay attention to. I would expect less movement this spring than we saw last spring. Remember, there was a lot of player movement along the lines of scrimmage at a bunch of different position groups. But I would also say that Jeremy Pruitt and his coaching staff will always keep an open mind with possibilities with the personnel. Other observations from practice on Thursday. Offense coordinator Jim Chaney was roaming on the practice field. When we first got there, he was spending a lot of time with the offensive line. Later on, he went over to the quarterback group. And he can do that because Chris Winkie is the quarterback's coach, so he will spend all his time with that position group. Will Friend is coaching the offensive line. I thought Wanya Morris looked good. Now, we can't read too much into one practice in T-shirts and shorts, jerseys and shorts in this case. But Wanya Morris looks the part, I think, of an SEC offensive lineman. I think that was already the case. He's a guy that physically looks like he can succeed at this kind of level. He has a lot more to learn, and that will come in time, but that's a benefit of being here right now. Wanya Morris will have gone through winter workouts, spring practice, summer workouts before August arrives. That's a big benefit for a guy who is hoping to start right away, and I think there's a good chance he can start right away. Jeremy Pruitt also talked about a number of players, especially on the offensive line, having put on a good amount of weight. Guys like Nathan Niehaus and Marcus Tatum, they needed to get a lot bigger when they arrived out of high school, and it looks like that's happened. They might still need to put on some more weight. Jameer Johnson, I would say, can still put on some more weight on the offensive line, but that has happened, and that's been needed on the offensive line. So Jim Chaney's moving around on the practice field as expected. I'd say that will be common. Derek Ansley and Jeremy Pruitt were both working with the defensive backs on Thursday, and Pruitt can move around on the practice field, and he will do that. You'll see him working with the defense, I would say, at times, and then the offense other times. And with Derek Ansley being the defensive backs coach, I would say that Jeremy Pruitt has trust in him, Ansley's also the defensive coordinator, but you could call Jeremy Pruitt maybe the head coach of the defense and Jim Chaney the head coach of the offense. It's, of course, more complicated than that in what happens, but coaches are handling different roles. Kevin Scherr is coaching inside linebackers and is now the special teams coordinator, not co-defensive coordinator. So changes have been made. There's not much to tell from the practice field, but looking at players individually and watching what coaches are doing, you can get at least a pretty good idea of it, as the coaches clinic is also going on right now. So the practice field was packed with coaches who are in town and observing practice right now. So a busy day on the practice field on Thursday. The Vols will practice again coming up on Saturday afternoon. Coming up next on Locked On Vols, we'll shift to hoops as Tennessee gets ready for its final regular season game on Saturday. It's at Auburn. Grant Ramey of GoVols247.com will stop by to share his thoughts on how Tennessee's playing and what Tennessee will try to get done this weekend. Locked On Vols is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you have time to rate and review the show, that can be a big help to the podcast. Downloading, subscribing, rating, and reviewing is a big help. Thanks to everybody who has done that so far. Spread the word. Tell everybody about the Daily Tennessee Podcast. It's here 5 days a week talking about what's going on with UT. And somebody who's covering UT every day is Grant Ramey. GoVols247.com. Follow him on Twitter at Grant Ramey. Grant, thanks for the time. As always, Tennessee this past week got a 19-point win against Kentucky on Saturday and then beat Mississippi State by 17 on Tuesday night. With what you've seen from Tennessee, do you think the Vols have corrected some of those issues we've talked about in the past few weeks? What do you think with what you've seen from Tennessee here?
I think they've turned a corner defensively, it appears. Last season, obviously, we've talked about how they built their identity on their defense, and that was a big reason for the success they had last season. They were just an okay offensive team. And then this season, they were elite offensively up until about 2 weeks ago when they started struggling a little bit. But ever since that Kentucky loss in Lexington, they've been a different team on the defensive end. They've locked down. Looks like they're enjoying playing defense and having fun trying to shut people down. And the last two games, obviously, giving up 54 against Mississippi State and 52 against Kentucky. That's really impressive numbers. It helps that you're at home with two good crowds and a good atmosphere, because that makes a difference in college basketball. But if this is the brand of defense they're going to be playing moving forward, they're going to be a tough out in the SEC tournament and the NCAA tournament too.
What helped with Tennessee getting the defense turned around, do you think, over the last couple of weeks?
I think they got humbled at Kentucky a couple of weeks ago. I think that's the way Admiral Schofield phrased it himself. That was a very humbling loss. When they went there, they were still on that win streak, 19 games. They were still number one in the polls, had been there for a month. Rick Barnes has talked about, you know, they were taking care of business and winning games during that stretch, but he said there was slippage. And when they got there to Kentucky, they pretty much got punched in the mouth. I mean, they were down 24 early in the second half and weren't really competitive after the way Kentucky started that second half. And ever since then, they've been a different team. The offensive numbers haven't quite been there, but they don't have to be there when you're as successful as you are on the defensive end like they have been.
So as they head into Auburn, I think Admiral pointed out the other night, didn't he, that Auburn beat Tennessee last year, and that allowed Auburn to have the one seed in the SEC tournament a year ago. It's been a long time, though, since they've played. The conversation's changed a good bit. What do you think about Tennessee heading into this game, trying to at least clinch a share of the SEC title?
It's a big game. It is a really big game. Florida obviously didn't do Tennessee any favors Wednesday night by letting LSU kind of escape Gainesville with that overtime win. But there's a lot on the line. Auburn is having its senior day, and obviously Tennessee knows how emotional those games can be, and how, you know, every arena they've gone to on the road has been feels like capacity or near capacity. When you're ranked as high as they've been ranked all season, you're kind of going to have that target on your back. So they're used to that. But I mean, this is an Auburn team that probably doesn't like Tennessee, because they had to split that title last season, despite they won the head-to-head by 10. And it's a Tennessee team that probably doesn't like Auburn because of what you mentioned. They came to Knoxville last year and put 94 on the board on, like, January 2nd. It was, like, the first SEC home game. And obviously Tennessee hasn't lost at home since then. I think it's 26 in a row at this point. So there's a lot of storylines going in, and it's a tough Auburn team to face. I mean, they've struggled, but they'll light you up from the three-point line. I think they've hit as many as anybody in the SEC, and that's been a weakness for Tennessee guarding the perimeter. So something's got to give, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, this will be a good test, don't you think, to see if Tennessee can keep this impressive defensive run going against Auburn with the way that it will want to play and how it will want to test Tennessee from the perimeter shooting the basketball.
Right, they say defense travels. Well, if this defense is going to stick and it's going to stay around into the postseason, it needs to travel to Auburn. It would be easy to, if there wasn't much on the line, to kind of sleep through this game if you're Tennessee, but they're still share the SEC title on the line with LSU if both teams win on Saturday, and obviously LSU hosts winless Vanderbilt, winless in the SEC Saturday night, so you assume they're going to win that game. Tennessee take care of business. That would be back-to-back seasons defending their SEC regular season title. That would be huge for this program, and it's huge because they need to show that this defense is here to stay, and it's going to have to be something that you're going to have to contend with next week in Nashville for the SEC tournament and wherever they end up for the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, granted, also be a nice road win there, as you're talking about, as the last two losses at Kentucky, at LSU, which I don't think really hurts Tennessee that much, but putting the resume together, get a nice road win. Of course, you have a potential Kentucky game next week, could play in the SEC title game, all that stuff. But what stands out, as I know you're tracking the projections with the NCAA tournament, just where Tennessee stands with projected seeding right now?
Lenardi and ESPN have kind of stuck with them at the two in the South region, which is Louisville, and Duke is the number one in that region. Others, it seems like, have trended Tennessee back towards the number one seed, the number one line. I think if Tennessee ends up the two and Kentucky is the three in the SEC tournament seeding, they're obviously going to meet if they advance to the semifinals. It feels like whoever wins that game, or maybe whoever wins the SEC tournament, gets that number one seed. It would be big for Tennessee if they stuck at number one and got a number one seed. I mean, obviously, you've never done that in school history. That's a big deal for a basketball program like Tennessee. But I think there's something to be said for, would you rather be a number one seed in the Midwest and play a regional in a place like Kansas City and carry that burden of being the number one seed, which I think is something that you'd have to consider if you're a first-time number one seed, or would you rather be a number two seed and be closer to home, like in the South region, playing in Louisville if you make it to the second weekend? So it's a good conversation to have if you're a Tennessee basketball fan, because it means you're in pretty elite waters at this point.
Hey, Grant, last thing I'll get you out of here. Grant Ramey with GoVols247.com. It was an emotional senior night at Thompson Bowling Arena on Tuesday. You've been around these guys probably as much as anybody in the media the last 3 to 4 years, depending on who we're talking about. But Admiral Grant, Kyle Alexander, what's it been like covering these guys the last few years from when they arrived to Tennessee to now?
It's been super enjoyable. They are a really good kid. They've been good kids since they stepped on campus. This has never been a roster where you're worried about checking the 24-hour arrest list and somebody getting in trouble. I mean, from the time they got here, they've worked their butts off, and they've turned themselves into, as everybody knows by now, from the three-star prospects into a team that's contending for a number one seed and trying to defend the SEC regular season title. And when you're at Tennessee, that's big. That's a big deal. These guys, think about it, they lost 35 games over their freshman and sophomore seasons. They were, I believe, 15-19 their freshman year and 16-16 their second year. Obviously didn't sniff a postseason back then, and all of a sudden they've won like 53 of the last 65, something like that. So what they've done, the work they've put in, the team they've become, they've always been a close, tight-knit group. They've even got closer and closer as the years have gone on. The only thing that's changed is obviously the success and the product they're putting on the floor. But they're good dudes. They're personable. They all have good stories to tell, and it's been fun to cover them.
Yep, I think you're right. And he's covering for GoVols247.com. You can read his work there. Follow him on Twitter, at Grant Ramey. Grant, thanks as always. Appreciate it. Talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Josh.
Grant Ramey of GoVols247.com. Thanks for being here on Locked On Vols. Coming up in just a moment, we'll get a perspective from Auburn. Justin Ferguson covers the Tigers for The Athletic. He'll tell us about Auburn's basketball team, what the Tigers will try to do against Tennessee this weekend, and what this game means to Bruce Pearl. That's coming up on Locked On Vols. Remember, you can connect with me anytime. I'm on Twitter, at @Josh_Ward. Also, I have the Facebook page, facebook.com/Josh Ward. Send me a question or comment anytime you like, and I'll share what's going on with the show on those pages. On Twitter, at @Josh_Ward, and facebook.com/Josh Ward. So I want to welcome to the show now
Justin Ferguson with TheAthletic.com covering what's going on with the Auburn Tigers. Justin, thanks so much for the time. I really appreciate it. As we head into the final weekend with Auburn getting ready to host Tennessee, how would you describe Auburn's season and the way things have gone for the Tigers this year?
Yeah, I think heading into the season, a lot of us circled Auburn-Tennessee at the end of the year and said, okay, this could be one that determines the SEC championship for both teams, that they'd still be contenders. And, of course, Tennessee has done that and has had an excellent season, clearly. But Auburn has fallen short of expectations, and I think it's still been a good season for Auburn. They swept Alabama and Georgia in the regular season, first time they've done that in you know 50-plus years. First time they've won back-to-back SEC seasons of back-to-back 10 wins or more, you know, since 76, I believe. So they've been able to, you know, get some good progress. They're going to be firmly in the NCAA tournament, you know, back-to-back years. First time they've done that in nearly 20 years. So it's a good step forward for the program, but a lot of people expected more this year. Because I think Auburn has really kind of missed out. You know, they lost Mustafa Heron to transfer and Deshaun Murray, and those guys were very crucial. They did things that Auburn has struggled at this year, rebounding and getting to the basket, kind of creating their own shot. On top of that, Austin Wiley has not been able to play consistently. You know, a lot of people thought he could be a difference maker for Auburn this year, and he's been hurt. So Auburn's kind of fallen short of expectations this year, so they've had to rely so much on a ton of outside shots and kind of being a run and gun, you know, turnover, you know, forcing turnovers and making things happen that way. And that was their style last year, but it's even been cranked up even to more extremes this year. And when it works, it works. And it's a fantastic brand of basketball to watch. But when certain teams kind of run into them, they're just bad matchups for Auburn and Auburn isn't hitting from deep. They've been prone to trying to drop some games they probably could have won last season. So I think that's kind of be the big difference in this, that, you know, this is still going to be a top half team in the SEC, but people were expecting them to be kind of where LSU is right now, being the ones challenging Tennessee and Kentucky for the crown.
So what do you think about this matchup this weekend, what Tennessee has been this season and what Auburn wants to be? How could that go this weekend, do you think? Or what does Auburn hope to do to try to challenge Tennessee this weekend?
Yeah, I think the big thing for Auburn in this game is that they're going to have to play the best game of their season by far, and they're going to have to do it doing what they're good at. They can't really change themselves. Tennessee's, you know, earlier this week against Alabama, Auburn came back from 13 down because they did something they don't do very often. That was get to the line, get inside the paint, and make plays happen there, and they were able to, you know, pull off the win that way, taking advantage of Alabama's defense that way. Tennessee, Bruce Pearl said it today, Tennessee is way too good on defense to think that you can just kind of plug that in and go. He was really, really complimentary of what Tennessee does on the defensive end. And it's a tough matchup. They're going to be bigger and longer than Auburn pretty much every position. So for Auburn, it's got to be – you've got to be able to make up those size differences and honestly the talent differential by – doing some of those underdog things Auburn's done well this year, which is shooting a lot of threes and hitting a lot of threes, which they do pretty well at home, one of the best in the country at scoring at home this season. And number two, forcing turnovers and making Tennessee uncomfortable on offense. When Auburn dominates the turnover battle, they lead the nation in turnover percentage on the defensive end, they usually do a really good job of getting wins against some really high-quality teams. The problem is when they get turnovers of their own, when guys like Jared Harper and Bryce Brown and Samir Dowdy get loose with the ball, you know, teams like Kentucky, South Carolina, NC State earlier this year stands out as teams that were able to kind of pull away from Auburn, you know, doing that. So for me, it's going to be, can Auburn steal some of those possessions from Tennessee, turn them over a good bit, kind of get out and run, get some easier buckets. And can they hit the three-pointers that they usually do at home? If they do that, they're going to have to play elite in both of those categories. I think they've got a shot to pull it off against Tennessee. But the way Tennessee is and their talent, it's just this matchup favors them so much that if Auburn isn't at their best in one of those two areas, Tennessee is the perfect team to come in and really just take it to Auburn.
Justin Ferguson with TheAthletic.com. Can you tell what this game means to Bruce Pearl, just this game this Saturday, but just when he goes up against Tennessee, a school where he, of course, had so much success in the past?
Yeah, I think earlier in his career, it was a really big motivating factor. I think that's kind of died down a little bit. Not because he doesn't want to win against Tennessee for sure,
but also just kind of the way all of it ended. And secondly, they haven't played very regularly. He brought up a stat today. Auburn and Alabama will have played 5 times since the last time Auburn played Tennessee, and all the way back at the beginning of the SEC schedule last year. So I think maybe if it happened a little bit more frequently, we could kind of, you know, get it up as more of kind of like a rivalry. But, you know, for Bruce Pearl, I think his big motivating factor is not what it means for him and what it means, you know, hey, this is what it means for Auburn, that if you fell short of expectations this year, you know, this game is an opportunity at home, your home finale, senior day, against one of the best teams you've played all season, if not the best team you've played all season. And a win here, even though Auburn's falling short of expectations, this is the one where they win this game, they will have won 7 out of their last 8 to close the regular season, and they will be hitting tournament time on a high. Even if they lose to Tennessee, I think they're still in a good spot moving forward because they're playing better basketball. But, man, it would be such a boost for Auburn basketball to try to make a run, not only in the SEC tournament, but the NCAA tournament, if they can get one like Tennessee. And that's why I think this matchup is going to be so big for Bruce, because it's like this is a next step kind of performance. Like, this is the one where can really be the difference maker in making this a better season than even last year when Auburn won the SEC and, you know, shared it with Tennessee.
Yeah, and Justin, before you go, Auburn's a school that obviously had some issues in basketball. Bruce has taken the program to a higher level. That's kind of a reflection on SEC basketball, isn't it? Auburn's a big football school, but basketball now means something. Tennessee basketball means something right now. For the league, I think it's been impressive to see what's happened in hoops over the last 2 or 3 years. What do you think?
Oh, it's been really impressive. And Bruce Pearl coming into this year said, I think we could be a better team than we were last year as a whole. And obviously that hadn't lived up to it, but he thought that they were going to have a worse record, not because of anything they did, but the league as a whole is so much better. And it's the investment in coaching. And I think Auburn and Tennessee are two shining examples of what it is. And we've seen it all across the league, but I think Auburn and Tennessee, you know, have done it so much that Auburn makes the move to go get Bruce Pearl. And after what happened at Tennessee and the show calls and even what happened, you know, with the Chuck Person thing and the FBI stuff, you know, last year, you know, it was a risk to hire somebody like Bruce Pearl, but it's paid off in a big way. Basketball is big again at Auburn. It's been, you know, like I said, it's been 2 decades since Auburn's made it to the NCAA tournament back-to-back years. And now they've got it. And then, of course, I mean, what else can you say about Rick Barnes? But he has just brought it to Knoxville. He's got such a great team that plays really efficient, really smart basketball, got some excellent recruits. And even though they're not recruiting at the levels of a Kentucky or an LSU, they look like a team that can make it to the Final Four. And I think a lot of it falls on the coaching and the investment that Tennessee and like Auburn made in basketball. It's been a lot of fun. It's definitely made this time of year a whole lot more enjoyable instead of everybody just waiting around, you know, kind of waiting for spring football to start. It's been a lot of fun.
You're absolutely right. He's Justin Ferguson. TheAthletic.com is the website. If you want to keep up with what's going on with Gus Malzahn's football team, by the way, Justin's the guy to do that for you, The Athletic. Hey, Justin, thanks for the time as always. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, man, always a pleasure coming on. Thanks for having me.
So we head into the weekend. Tennessee is at least looking to share the SEC title. That would be with LSU. Tennessee plays the first game of the day on Saturday in the SEC. It's a noon Eastern time tip-off, so 11 a.m. there in Auburn. Senior day for the Tigers. There'll be a lot of emotion. They'll be fired up to take on a top-5 Tennessee Vols basketball team. So that game will be at noon on Saturday. LSU will play the final game of the day in the SEC. So you'll have to wait until Saturday night at 8:30 Eastern time is when LSU and Vanderbilt will tip off. Vandy is winless in the SEC. LSU is trying to win an SEC title. LSU also has to continue to deal with more distraction from the Will Wade reports. It does not look good for him right now with the word that's come out of there with reports from Yahoo and ESPN on Thursday. But this is also a game that LSU should win easily at home against a Vanderbilt team that has not won an SEC game this season. So we'll see what happens this Saturday with Tennessee looking to at least share the SEC title. The Vols would love to win it outright, but Florida was probably the last hope for help with that for Tennessee. So we'll see what happens this weekend. I'll be back on Monday to talk about how this weekend went in basketball, the latest with Tennessee football, as well as the Vols get back to the practice field on Saturday. We'll see what happens with the Lady Vols. They did get the win on Thursday against LSU, so it's a Friday matchup against the top seed in the SEC, Mississippi State. It'll be a tough one, but the Lady Vols will have a shot. We'll see what happens. Tennessee baseball takes a 13-0 record into the weekend. There's a lot going on with UT Athletics. Thanks again for hanging out. Subscribe, rate, and review, all that good stuff. Thanks to everybody who has done so far. Have a great weekend, and I'll see you back here on Monday.